You have undoubtedly heard the old Chinese proverb that says, "Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime." This may have been sufficient in simpler times, when a man did not have to buy a fishing license. Today, while such teachings have clear value in illustrating an important principle, the mission field as a whole has become far more complex. When we pray for those less fortunate, the sick and afflicted, those without food, water, and shelter, or even the knowledge to obtain the necessities of life, such a prayer would likely yield, for the person sincerely praying, a desire to engage in the type of loving and intelligent ministry that will relieve suffering. Jesus said, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." The most appropriate action usually involves efforts to provide some form of immediate relief, coupled with a program to equip individuals and groups to better meet their own needs. Remember when the various relief agencies would respond to famine with a Berlin airlift-style food drop, and then move on to the next area of need? Such an effort certainly feeds people for a time, but it can also have the unintended consequence of ruining the market for the already struggling local farmer. Today, food drops are still a valuable component of rapid deployment relief efforts, but the approach is more nuanced. Food is often procured locally, and greater emphasis is placed on sustainability and averting the next crisis through education programs and by enhancing the capability for local production. Intelligent ministry addressing the necessities of a disadvantaged people sometimes requires a highly informed approach to the problem. We live in a world where governments are linked through self-interest. Such a collective is often inclined toward the same self-maintenance and self-perpetuation behaviors as any organic phenomenon. If providing food within a war-torn country is somehow perceived as embarrassing to the leadership, or as providing aid and comfort to someone's enemy, a tragic loss of personnel may ensue. And in rescue parlance, each would be a double casualty, one more person to rescue or recover, and one less person to assist in the overall relief effort. Greater adversity and complexity in the mission field is not a justification to delay or interrupt charitable activities, but a feed them for a lifetime set of priorities coupled with intelligent planning for every kind of contingency is an essential part of any such effort. Somewhere, between the local street minister with a pocket full of nutrition bars and a far-reaching teaching mission reintroducing hydroponics along the banks of the Euphrates, is a group of people focused on the material as well as the spiritual welfare of others. While the most basic necessities of life have not changed much over the centuries, the need for due diligence and advanced guidance in meeting their needs has certainly increased. For example, we can no longer just assume water is fit for human consumption. And how do we know that a seed donation isn't just the first snort to a life of dependency on seed that produces vegetation incapable of returning to seed? Or for that matter, a dependency on seed requiring proprietary and genetically linked fertilizers that are placed at what the market is either unable to bear or can just barely bear. Jesus taught us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Accordingly, an important part of our discipleship involves learning how to recognize evil and give preference for programs and policies that simply don't support it. Nowhere is this more important than in charitable service. Discipleship also implies an ability to control our human impulses, to vent as necessary without hurting anyone or raging against the machine. As ministers, we have a duty to gently guide those we would help along a path that serves their long-term best interests. We steer them away from avenues that are destructive or that only serve those that are serving mammon in a way that is exploitative. It is not enough for us to focus on areas where profit motives reign supreme. Carelessness among service-motivated individuals and organizations can also force conscientious producers of food into conditions of peonage. Consider the implications of just one poorly translated Bible passage in light of the present-day controversy surrounding genetically modified foods. In the first chapter of Genesis, through verse 29, God tells us, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. These will be yours for food." I am quoting from the New International Version. This emphasis on life perpetuation through references to seed-bearing plants and seed-bearing fruit is also retained in the King James, the New King James, the 21st Century King James, the New American Standard, the New Living Translation, the English Standard Version, the New Century Version, the American Standard Version, Young's Literal Translation, the Darby Translation, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the New International Reader's Version, the New International Version UK Edition, and today's New International Version. By contrast, the contemporary English version reads, "I have provided all kinds of fruit and grain for you to eat." Now, this translation would certainly be a favorite within those agribusiness concerns peddling plants that, rather than going to seed, go sterile. But such dumbed-down Bibles also have the effect of stunting the intellectual growth of those advocates who would champion the best interests of developing individuals or groups. Jesus prayed not that we be taken out of the world, but that we be protected from the evil one. The necessities of life work to keep us reality-centered, and challenges are an important part of our discipleship. Just as actual experience is the master of all teachers, the Spirit of Truth will guide us through those experiences that are the most meaningful, and throughout our efforts to apply the most appropriate levers of social uplift, this very same spiritual helper will be the power-multiplying fulcrum. Only God can grow us, and only God can heal us. But we can set the stage for and promote the growth and healing of individuals and nations. We can teach the art and science of advancing individuals and civilization away from darkness and death towards the source of higher values and an era of light and life. To do this, we must renew our focus on subjecting the animal nature to the mastery of the spirit. And we must move away from unbridled profiteering to higher types of incentive and motivation. Superior motives for economic striving and social serving will eventually replace the fear-driven hoarding of the most self-serving. If the economic meltdown of 2008 taught us anything, it is that unqualified self-interest destroys even that which it seeks to maintain. The profit motive is useful in helping the budding civilization overcome the inertia of an economic standstill. But once an individual member of society matures, the service motivation augments, compensates for, and eventually displaces the hoarding instinct. The uber-selfish are seldom happy, and there are others for whom abiding joy is completely independent of material net worth. These are the people easily activated for unselfish service. There are parables yet to be told concerning the art of well digging, irrigation, and spring control. There are stories yet to be written about standing steadfast against those who would enslave the masses through promoting a dependence on unhealthy practices. And there are songs yet to be sung about inspiration, liberation, and the hope of days to come. Our adjustment to the current day necessities of life affect everybody. From the revaluation of currencies and the readjustment of global markets to the limited availability of clean water, everything seems to be changing. Some are content to say we are entering a time long foretold where a piece of bread will buy a bag of gold. But to those that are not pew potatoes, for whom faith is not stagnant and for whom the words of Jesus are a call to action, the current challenges are a stimulating reminder to fulfill those obligations that invariably lead to living faith, loving service, and seed-bearing fruit. You don't need a license to fish in the kingdom of heaven. All you need is to follow the one who said, "Come, and I will teach you to become fishers of men." This is Bob Calk on behalf of Ascension University and the Avia Group. Thanks for listening. Now go in God's grace with the full knowledge that he is reaching out to you in divine love.